now at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline. Glad to have you along. And today we have two guests that have been here before. They are veterans of the show. Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers and Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson. Fellows, thanks for being back.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for having
Glad
us.
To be here.
Are you prepared for this winter storm?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long couple days for people in the landscape type industry, you know. So anyway, we'll be doing what we can do to fight the battle.
Is it going to be a long couple of days for plants?
It could be. Glenn and I were talking, people should be aware, you know, the ice and snow can do some damage to the landscape. So we were talking about it. I mean, there's several things on the gardening side I'd be checking into. Or, Glenn, you want to lead off on that?
In particular, I think what happens, or what I hear about is if you get some ice and snow buildup, people want to go out and, like, beat their bushes with a broom or a rake, and that's probably not the best thing to do. In my opinion, it's better to just pull off the heavy stuff. You know, plants are kind of built to withstand a certain amount of weight, and it actually adds to the toughness of the plant. So don't worry about cleaning every single speck of snow and ice off of your plants. Be willing to live with 20 or 30% cover, and the plants will be okay.
Well, let's start with that. We'll get to some more tips on this weather situation. But let me give out the phone number. So if people have questions, hopefully they do this morning, we are at your service, 314-436-7900. There is an 800 number. You have to dial 1-800-925-1120. The local number again, 314-436-7900. If you have a question about this situation, or it is now a new year and it will be, and spring is just around the corner despite the weather we're having, it won't be long before pitchers and catchers report and the spring arrives. So if you have questions about preparations you need to make for the spring, for your garden, for your front yard, for your trees and bushes and plants, let us know. We are here to help. What else should people think about when a winter storm comes like this?
Yeah, like kind of following up on what Glenn was saying, you know, it the snow and ice can do some damage. Actually, it can do some beneficial things too. I mean, you know, the snow is an insulator. It's a great insulator. And when we look at what's coming up after the snow, you know, we've got some pretty cold weather. So, you know, if especially things that are lower to the ground, if they're protected with a layer of snow, they'll be just fine going through that, you know, really cold weather. Because, you know, a lot of our plants we use are, you know, when we start getting down close to zero, there's sometimes some issues with things, especially broadleaf evergreens and, you know, some of the, when we experiment a little bit with things that may be a zone or two not meant for our area, really, you know. So anyway, the snow can, it could actually help some things. But like Glenn was saying, if you do get damage, we see it all the time coming out of winter. Like, say your arborvitaes, if you incur snow damage, you know, if twigs are broken, you know, cracked and broken, you should just probably prune them off. You know, I've seen people try to tie them up or Band-Aid them up, and I'm not sure that's really a great thing to do. So pruning off any damage is key. You can use like a vinyl tie or organic type string, you know, to help tie things back together, and that's worth trying to do a lot of times, you know. So if this really all comes to fruition, I'd say we'll probably be looking at, you know, some people anyway will need to do some corrective pruning for their plants.
Weeks. Never do that when it's cold out.
No.
Say that again?
Never do that when it's cold out. Wait till the weather warms up before you.
Well, that could be a while. Based on the forecast, where we might not be out of the 20s till next weekend or
might be
beyond. So is it okay to wait that long?
Oh, it is, sure. Yeah, especially I like to tell people about trees. If you see a broken limb on a tree, there's nothing that will help add to disease and insects into a broken branch than a broken off branch halfway. It needs to be correctively pruned. But yeah, we got to wait for the weather to warm up for that to happen. It's okay. Not a whole lot can happen in the next 60 days or so.
Okay. So. Fair enough. Good start here. Interesting topic to be dealing with. We didn't know this was coming until a couple of days ago, but it looks like it is definitely going to be a pretty serious storm. Let's get to the phones. The Garden Hotline is 314-436-7900. Connie, you are up first. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for your service. I purchased some emerald green arborvitaes recently and haven't gotten them in the ground. So curious, what's the best way to take care of them as we're moving into this storm later today?
Okay, Connie. You know, they should probably be fine. I guess they're in a, are they bald and burlap or are they in a pot?
They're in a pot.
Yeah. And so have you been keeping them well hydrated, I mean, up to this point, or how's that?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're well hydrated. That's great because we don't want them dry in the, you know, in the pot over the winter. The best thing you can actually do for those would be, well, a couple things. I mean, one, since they're in a pot, you know, you could even lay them down for a while and let the snow just pile up on them, and it probably won't cause any damage at all. Long term, I mean, keeping pots like your, you know, any plant in a pot for the winter, you know, the best thing, though, is to have some kind of insulation actually around the root ball or, you know, the pot. So possibly mulch or leaves or straw or, you know, just anything that can insulate the actual root ball. That would be the main concern. And then, like, and if you do lay them over, remember when the snow's done or and melts off, we need to pull them back up. We don't want to leave them laying horizontal on the ground too long. You'll lose the half that's touching the ground for sure. So, okay. So that's really, I don't think there's a lot of problem with what you have. And just with that cold weather coming up, though, it would be best to have that pot insulated, like I said, just some mulch or, you know, something to help insulate the root ball, the pot itself.
Yeah, let the freezing rain accumulate on them at all. You know, protect them. You know,
so if I could move them closer to the house and under something, would that be advisable?
Okay, oh, perfect. That'd be great. Yeah. Okay. If you can do that, that's great.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks for the call, Connie. It's 314-436-7900. So if you have plants outside, say on your porch, the freezing temperature's coming, should you put them inside somewhere?
I don't know if I'd tell inside, but I definitely would get them out from the elements. You know, don't let the snow and freezing rain fall on them. Just push them like what Connie's going to do. Maybe push them up close to the building. I can't see a real benefit of bringing them inside. There might be some unique plants that need to be brought inside.
Yeah.
For the most part, just keeping them out of the elements would be safe.
Well, I think, you know, this time of year, if we have pots and live plants in them, there's some usually going to be some kind of evergreen shrub, you know. And again, the main concern with that in a pot in this part of the country would be two issues. One, the biggest one is preventable, is winter dry out, you know. So you want to make sure it's well hydrated in the pot. And the other thing is, like we were saying, if it gets cold enough, long enough, you know, if the whole root ball freezes, you know, that can do some damage, you know. So anything you could do to insulate it, or sure, maybe pull it up closer. Probably, let's say you have boxwoods or something in a pot, you know, you could put those in a non-heated garage for a few days, you know, just pick
yeah, that's
up
what I was thinking. Basement,
garage. That'd be a safe bet. If and again, I'm not so worried about the snow is even this zero weather coming up,
right?
You know, and at least just protect them from that, you know, to help them.
Okay, we are off and running on the Garden Hotline. Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson and Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers are here to answer your questions. We're starting out with this winter storm and cold weather, how it might affect things. So if you have a question about that, the number to call is 314-436-7900. You're welcome to ask any other question that's on your mind when it comes to your yard and your garden. We are going to get back to the phones in just a moment. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. We'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline. We are at your service, and Glenn and Jeff are here to answer your gardening questions this morning at 314-436-7900. We go now to Harold. Good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Thanks for calling. Is this the last best chance we have to broadcast grass seed on bare spots and edges before the snow?
There's never a bad time to put out grass seed, Harold. Your expectation changes. So if you put it out today and it gets snowed or iced on or whatever, it's not going to go anywhere. It'll just wait for the spring soil temperatures to warm up. I think it's kind of a wives' tale to think that snow can actually push grass seed into the ground. I've heard people say that, and I just kind of shake my head in wonderment with that. But your expectation should be at 50-50 at best that that'll be a successful plant of grass someday. But if you have it, it definitely, my running joke is it doesn't work in the bag, so you might as well get it out.
That's good.
All right, very good.
All right, Harold, thanks for your question. Let's go next to Lori. Lori, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. One thing that I would like to address for myself as well as for other people who have pets that are toy size. We have three little pups. Well, they're about 5 pounds each. So what we have to do is we have to shovel a path in the yard in order for them to have a potty spot. And I noticed last year what happens is that area gets flattened out and it makes it harder for the grass to grow in the springtime. So this year I was wondering, could you give me any advice as to what I need to do to that area that gets tracked down prior to planting grass seed? Because the seed that we use is supposed to be made for, like, pastures for horses and cattle. It's that real strong seed, but it doesn't take as well. And I was wondering if you could give me some advice what we need to do to the soil prior to planting the grass seed this year.
Yeah, what I would suggest you do is consider adding some gypsum at about 10 pounds to 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. It doesn't sound like you'll need a whole lot. I think what I would really say is, you know, the big picture is the enjoyment of the dogs far outweighs the little bit of a bald spot in the lawn. I mean, if you look at the big picture, you could core aerate that in the spring, and that would definitely give you a better stand of grass come springtime. But, you know, it's more important that we don't use ice melters around small dogs like that, you know, sand for traction maybe, but otherwise, I would just put some gypsum out, and that should help alleviate the urine that they are putting into the soil, as mm-hmm. well as adding some calcium that will help the soil structure in general. But if you do that now and then do that again around March 15th, in theory, you should have a little better stand of grass come April or late March.
Okay. I noticed that when we do it in the spring, like last year and that, we get the grass seed in, but it's not as thick as the other spots.
Well, that's normal because young grass, until it's mowed a couple of times, isn't going to be as thick as the existing stand of grass. So it's all about a catch-up, and it'll be finer textured until it tillers, and it tillers after you mow the tip off. So you just have to be patient with that, and I would think by the end of May to early June, it should all blend together pretty well.
Okay, then. Thank you very much for your advice. I appreciate it.
Good luck.
Have a blessed New Year's. Yeah.
You too. Happy New Year, Lori. Thanks for calling in. The number to get your question answered is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson and Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers, gracious with their time. They've been in before, and they're here again answering your questions about whatever topic you choose. Guys, we were talking about the weather here. The snow and ice is one thing, but then the temperatures, single digits at night, 20s during the day, probably for the next week. Anything else you wanted to suggest people think about or do, you know, either today or later after the storm clears?
Well, you know, Scott, a couple of weeks ago when Glenn and I were here, we were talking about anti-desiccants. I tell you, it's probably getting to be your window to do that's gone, basically, because we're actually below freezing today anyway. So not a good day for applying that. So not much you can do with that. Like, I think now you're just in a protective mode. Things shouldn't be dry right now. I mean, although I noticed deep soil is still quite dry. It's kind of weird. You know, I saw piles, you know, from excavation that were very dry. But anyway, the surface is fairly moist, so that's good for things leading in. And main thing would be, as we discussed earlier, the snow. You know, snow and ice care. You know, if you got broken limbs, they need to be dealt with, that sort of thing. Anything you can do to kind of brush off the outer snow off the especially like the arborvitaes we were talking about, or boxwoods or yew bushes, you know, that would be very important, you know. But I think right now you're just gonna have to ride it out,
and if all else fails, it's probably not too late to get on a plane to Florida. So
well, Jeff, earlier you said a rough couple of days for landscapers. What did you mean exactly by that?
Oh, I was just referring to the actual work of snow removal. That's, you know, just a component of a lot of landscape companies' business portfolio. You know, in the wintertime,
is that on the checklist of things you got to do if you're hired to do landscaping for somebody?
Yeah, we, like, at our company, that's just a small part of what we do, and we primarily just do contract commercial work, and I'd say we're, you know, frankly, over, you know, what will be, this will be a tough event for us. It'll be a good couple days of hard work, you know, just keeping up with that. So, we do what we can to help keep the pavement clear.
That's right. All right, let's go back to the phones. 314-436-7900. Brett, you're up next. Good morning, Brett. Oh, Brett, can you hear me? Okay. I can hear you breathing. That's all I can hear right now.
Shut up. Oh. I'm on the phone.
Yep. Yep. You're on the air, actually. Hello?
Hey, Brett.
Well, Brett.
Hey, happy New Year.
I'm going to give you Happy New Year, Brett. I'm going to give you one last chance here.
Fred? Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air, Brett. All right. Well, okay. We'll have to let that one go. We gave it the puncher's try, whatever you call it. Yep. Okay, so let's forget about the storm for a second. Let's say it's a beautiful January morning with lots of sun and the temperature's 56 degrees, and just 2 months from now it is going to be March. So what else should people be thinking about, putting this storm aside?
Golfing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, golf courses need maintaining.
No, you said nice 56 degree day. You know, man, I think that'd be awesome considering what we got coming. You know, but what should we be doing? You know, hey, you know, the snow won't last forever. It's going to be, you know, there'll be a warm up and things will, you know, the snow will be gone. Then what do we do? Then we're probably back, a lot of people, and we're still at Horseman Brothers. We still have a, you know, not a lot, but we got a fair amount of cleanup work left to do. And when things get back to kind of normal, you know, we'll be busy with that. There's, you know, any neighborhoods, it seems like if you got the big, you know, pin oak trees around, you still probably got leaves to be cleaned up. And, you know, that's certainly better than waiting. If you can, it's better than waiting until the middle of spring trying to do that and do other things as well. Glenn, go ahead.
The lawn care programs will really be cranking up in March for sure, Scott. So,
So
you know, it won't be abnormal to even make an application of fertilizer and pre-emergent in February. So it's all a philosophy of the lawn care company. And like I said, getting the leaves cleaned up before that application, I think, is more important, especially if you didn't do any cleanups in the fall.
Another thing that's key, and I was thinking about this driving in, and we've talked about it before, but mulching. And truly, same thing. You know, right now we're going to go into a cold spell, but, you know, winter weeds are already starting to grow in the beds and things. So you know, the sooner you can probably get out and, you know, cultivate up the existing mulch if you have mulch, and either hand weed or treat the weeds that are in the beds, and you know, maybe go ahead and get a layer of mulch on it. That'll help you heading into spring.
Yeah. Okay, we have a couple of callers waiting to ask questions. We're going to get to those in just a moment. We also have some open phone lines if you would like to join the discussion about whatever's on your mind. 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Welcome back to the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow, joined by Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson and Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers, answering your gardening questions this morning. Let's go back to the phones. The number to get in on the conversation is 314-436-7900. Up next, we have Fred. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Thank you. I'd like to describe my problem. I had a large oak tree removed with about a 15-foot diameter area. Now, the stump was ground out very deep, and they put in soil and compacted it very tightly, I suppose, because the grass seed that they put on and that I put on since doesn't grow there. Is there a hardware tool that can be purchased in a hardware store? Any advice on how do I core aerate? I suppose the problem is core aeration, because the grass seed that's been put there is a lot like the grass seed that's in the bag that won't grow.
Well, it sounds like did they remove all the stump grindings, or did they just put topsoil on top of the stump grindings? Do you know?
I believe they did a pretty fair job of removing what they ground out, and then they put in lots of rich, dark-looking, just looks like muddy area. I don't know. There's a dandelion might grow there or something. I don't know. Any of the grass seed that I've tried there, and the grass seed that they put there, nothing has really grown there. It's just a problem area.
Well, hey, when was this done? You know, how long ago was that done? And
it's been in the last 2 years, possibly around 18 to 20 months, maybe.
Okay. Well, and also then part of it, you know, with seeding is how diligent were you about watering it after, you know, it was seeded and so forth, because that could be part of the problem if, you can't just put the seed there and expect it to grow, you know. I would suggest this spring, you know, that you, if you say it's a 15-foot area, it's not gigantic. Sure, you could have it aerated or rent an aerator, and you'd have to go over it multiple times to really kind of chew it up nice. Or you could, like you were saying, what could you do? You could use what's called a garden weasel, you know. I mean, it'd take you a while, but just actually really get that soil back to where it's really nice and loose, you know, and then reseed it and kind of rake it in a little bit, give it some starter fertilizer, and put a little light straw or pen mulch on there. And, you know, I bet as long as you water it, it should grow. You know,
my experience is usually there's not been a diligent removal of the tree, the grinding. So if you look in there and you can see pieces of wood, you're not going to grow grass in there because there's too many tannins left in the soil. So double check what that looks like. But if it's that small of an area, you might consider sod. You know, what the heck? It won't cost a lot, and it'll transform pretty quickly, but you'll probably know where that tree is for the next 4 or 5 years, and maybe even longer, because those tree rings don't disappear quickly and they don't blend in quickly, so that's not abnormal.
Yes, initially when they did the job, they put a lot of straw and grass, seeded it and put straw over it, but nothing has grown there, so it looks terrible.
You mentioned that I could a garden weasel. I don't know what you're talking about. Is that something you can purchase for small areas in hardware stores or something?
Yes, sir. You can. You know, I know. You know. The big box stores have them. The little guys should have them. You know, that's just it's just called a garden weasel. It looks like it. It's got like 5 or 6 star. Blades on it that rotate around when you roll it across the ground, and it does a nice job of pulverizing up small areas. You know, yeah. It's a good tool.
Oh, thank you. Okay, that sounds like a avenue for me to pursue with the hardware man. Thank you, sir, for your patience with me.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Fred. We appreciate it this morning. 314-436-7900. Let's go next to Sharon. Good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a real tricky situation. It's kind of a design issue as well as a practical issue. I'm on a third of an acre, and my yard backs to my neighbor's yard. And I put up a 6-foot privacy fence to separate. In front of that privacy fence, I have 3 oak trees. One oak tree is about 60 years old, and the other 2 are about 40 years old, and they're in a straight line. And they're in a bed of ground cover. What I discovered, and it's been going on for a few years, the tree on the far left has developed a fungus that I have researched, and I have been told that this particular fungus will hollow out the center of the tree, and the tree could typically fall over on its own. So I need to have that tree removed. From an aesthetic perspective, the tree in the center and the tree on the right are going to look weird because the tree on the left is gone. So I was thinking about just removing all 3 trees, and these are mature oak trees. Having all of them removed and replacing them with something called a Fuja Green Giant Arborvitae, and that would provide a screen, according to the picture I found online, would be a really nice screen between my yard and my neighbor's yard. The question that I have is how close to the current tree, the base of the trees, can I plant these new arborvitaes, and is this a variety of arborvitae that will thrive in this climate, in our zone?
Hey, Sharon. You know, yes, the Green Giant Arborvitae is actually, it's probably one of the preferred evergreen trees for greater St. Louis area. You know, it's fast growing. It does get fairly big. I mean, it can get, 35, 40 feet tall over time, and it's a fast grower, so it's a pretty sturdy tree. There are some issues, and sometimes we see just random death, where they just, they're doing well, and then all of a sudden they're gone. But for the most part, they really do quite well here. I was going to, based on what you were looking at, I was almost going to suggest, where you have that one tree removed, maybe just replace it with a Green Giant Arborvitae, or in the near vicinity. You're never really going to plant another tree right where that big oak is removed, So in the general area there, you could even just plant one, or maybe there's room to even plant like 3 or something together. You could do something kind of offset, just because you got 3 oaks in a row right now doesn't mean, if the 2 are left that, you could have a smaller tree in there, step it down, maybe a dogwood or redbud and some other shrubs around it or something. I don't know that you need, necessarily need to take the other 2 oaks out. Mm.
From an aesthetic standpoint, I don't think that planting a different variety of tree where the tree that is diseased is removed is going to be preferred. It's not, from my perspective, I'm not going to like the way that looks. I've been in this home for 47 years, and for 47 years I have raked these oak leaves And I'm now 76 years old, and I've decided that's something, given the fact that I have a disease tree anyway, raking those oak leaves several times over the course of the fall and winter might not be something I want to continue doing. And that's one reason why I thought that the Green Giant Arborvitae might be a better option, because they don't shed and I would not have the leaf problem. That's a secondary issue. But the primary issue would be how close to the base of the current trees could I plant these arborvitaes. The space side to side is about 55 feet wide.
Okay. Well, but I thought you were going to take out all three of them, you know?
Yes.
So I was,
yes.
If you take out all three of them, you know, and it's 55 feet across, you know, you're not going to need 10. You're going to need 7 of those trees evenly spaced out in there to look great.
You're probably
And I'd plant them if you want a nice screen. I mean, you can do a straight line wall, but I'd maybe even offset them a little bit, and
sure.
That's the way I would handle that.
Should probably get to within 10 or 12 feet of the original.
Yeah.
Oak tree,
sure.
I would imagine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to go out that far from the base.
Yeah, I would think so. Those roots are going to be pretty aggressive if they're 40 to 60 years old.
Yeah. So, I mean, can you plant in front of the stumps or behind them, or, you know, what?
Well,
or zigzag them in between?
The bed is about probably 25, 30 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the arborvitae, according to the instructions or the descriptions, said they get between 10 and 15 feet. So if I go 10 or 15 feet front to back and side to side, I don't know how I would get more than 3 in there because of the distance, you know, unless I want them to touch. And then I'm afraid that if they touch, they won't get enough air circulation and they would start to not fill in where they touch. You know, I don't know enough about this particular variety to make that decision.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, like if you plant them in a staggered formation and you really want privacy, think about putting them 6-7 foot on center. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. That's really what you want to try to do if you're looking to get privacy.
Okay. All right.
Sounds like you need to do a house call, Jeff.
I do. It does. I'm ready to go on that one.
Give us a call.
All right.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the call, Sharon. We appreciate it. It's 314-436-7900. We'll continue with your phone calls for Glenn and Jeff after a short break here on KMOX. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. We're at your service with Glenn and Jeff here, answering your questions this morning at 314-436-7900. Next on the line is Bunny. Good morning, Bunny. Are you there?
Question. Mm-hmm. I have a huge holly bush close to my garage, and I need to prune it. I don't know when to do it and how much I can prune it, how far I can prune it back. And also, I have some boxwood that's kind of askew now, and I need to cut that back. And when do I do that? And then finally, I have some mums, and I want to know, do I cut that all the way down and let it go till next fall? I don't know. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bunny.
Hey, Bunny. On that holly, you know, you can trim that earlier this spring or early spring if you want. You know, it's going to bloom and you'll cut off the flowers that would make the berries, you know, that you might enjoy next year. But early spring, it'll flush back out nice. So, you know, that would be a good time to go ahead and trim that. You could even do it a little later in the spring and it should be all right as well. Let's see. So you had the holly and the boxwoods, you know. Now, so boxwoods, if you want to do a heavy prune, and you're kind of risking a little bit, but you can do a heavy prune on a boxwood early in the spring. I mean, early, like late February or March, okay? And because sometimes if you're going to trim them heavy, they're going to go down to almost like bare wood, you know, and you need new leaves to develop and buds to form along there and come out. So anyway, that's an early spring or late winter kind of thing. But in general, the best times to prune boxwoods is like May and early September. You know, those are the preferred times for the boxwoods. And honestly, I did not hear the last mumps. Number three, what that was. What was it?
She had mumps that she wanted
mumps.
To. Yeah, I would tell you just cut those all the way down to the ground.
Yeah, I would too, Glenn. But you know what? I would probably wait actually for the mum to trim that to the ground. Wait, go ahead and wait till this winter time is over, because that dead plant material actually helps insulate the roots a little bit. So seems like newer mums are very, you know, a lot of varieties you buy and plant in the fall, they're hard to get reestablished. A lot of them just don't overwinter well at all. So the more you can do to try to help them, the better. So I'd leave that dead foliage up till, you know, late March, and then cut it off, and hopefully it starts coming back from the bottom. Yeah.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Bill. You are on the Garden Hotline with Jeff and Glenn. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Bill.
Go ahead with your question.
I've selected some milkweed seed, and after this weather passes, would it be okay to go ahead and put it on the ground? Because it's in a kind of a protected area from the wind, because it's a circle of bricks. And then the other packs of wildflowers, should I go ahead or wait till early spring, or I just need your advice, what you guys think?
You know, Bill, at this point, well, you could have probably even seeded that late in the fall, you know. I mean, that would have been one option. So, you know, seeding it right now, I don't think there's any risk to that. You know, I guess like anything, it could, if we have incredibly damp conditions all winter long, you know, maybe the seed could be damaged, rot. You know, rot. You know, that would be the only problem I see. So I think, you know, you go ahead and seed it. I like any seeding, I'd make sure you cultivate the area up and make sure that seed has really good ground contact, you know, so that it's not just sitting up on dead debris or anything like that. And, you know, it should be good to go. A little light compost would help, maybe on top of it, just a light layer. That's about it.
And make sure in the springtime, when those are young seedlings coming out of the ground, you keep any traffic off it. So make sure if there's dogs, you got to fence that off, or kids, you just got to don't let any traffic get on those when they're first emerging from the ground.
Yeah, good luck with that. The butterflies will love you.
All right, thanks for the call, Bill. We appreciate it. 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Today, our experts are Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson and Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers. They have returned to answer your questions, and we will continue for one more hour. The Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline. Today we have returning guests, Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson and Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers. They're here answering your questions on the Garden Hotline. The number to call, 314-436-7900. Let's get back to the phones. Linda, good morning. You're up next.
Good morning. I have a big mud pit. It's like maybe 15 feet by 20 feet. And in the spring, your neighbor, Charlie, is going to come over. And we got a couple questions. Do we put sod down or seed? And if what type of seed do we use? And also, I have two huge dogs that's going to be plowing through that area.
you won't put sod or seed down, Linda. There's something called AstroTurf that sounds like it was going to be your best friend for that environment. But if you don't keep the dogs off, there's no seed and there's no sod that's going to be successful. You have to give that a couple of months to grow in and get mowed a couple of times and get established before you reintroduce the dogs. So you might be looking at a ground cover that'll be a lot tougher and tolerate the moisture more so than seed or sod.
Well, it did have a lot of grass on it, and it kept it. However, a guy came in and put my generator in, dug up that part of the yard.
Okay. Yeah, so whatever you're dealing with, you just have to make an educated decision. And like I said, the dogs is going to change my advice for you. If you're willing to keep the dogs off, you can get either one to establish. Sod, of course, will establish more quickly, and it'll be more expensive, but you'll have a lot more satisfaction. But you got to keep the dogs off of that area for a minimum of 6 to maybe even 8 weeks if you have any perception of what's going to make it through the summer.
Okay. That's, I can deal with that. What type of sod, though, do I use?
Oh, you get tall fescue sod. The biggest thing with sod is you want to prep the soil properly and make sure you have good seed-to-soil or good contact and get rid of the air layer between the old dirt and the new dirt from the sod farm, because there'll be two different textures, and you want to make sure that that gets rolled in and gets established properly with watering daily. You won't water that every other day. You'll probably water that every day till it's established, and that's usually 2 weeks.
Okay. And by water, like water heavily or lightly or what?
Well, you just want to water to keep the top inch moist or so. So it's usually about 10 or 15 minutes maybe with a hose. And you won't water the whole lawn the same. You'll just water the sod differently, again, until it's established. And again, that's usually 2 weeks or so.
Okay. Do you like fescue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, by far, tall fescue is going to be your sod of choice. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Be safe driving home.
Yeah. Thanks, Linda.
Thanks, Linda. We appreciate your phone call at 314-436-7900. That's the Garden Hotline. What is your concern right now, whether it is related to the weather that's coming or spring planting or landscaping planning? We have some answers for you with Jeff and Glenn this morning. Let's get back to the storm, though. For those who weren't listening in the last hour, what are some tips you have for this snow ice event and the temperatures that are coming?
Well, like we were saying earlier, a couple things. One, with the snow and the temperatures, take care of yourself first and foremost. Let's not worry too much about the landscape when we got, we don't need anybody hurting themselves or falling or anything like that. So anyway, what we were talking about earlier is just potential damage that the snow and even worse, ice can do to the landscape. And Glenn had talked, and I'm in agreement, the best thing to do if you can, if you're worried about it, is try to lightly brush off the heavy snow and protect the plants so that they don't get pushed down or broken. If we do get broken branches and twigs, at some point when the weather improves, they're going to need to be trimmed off and dealt with. The other thing we were talking about, if you do have especially with the really cold weather coming in, if you've got evergreen plants in pots or something, you're concerned about that, make sure they're hydrated, watered, and then two, if they're small enough, just go ahead and bring them into an unheated garage or make sure they're up close to the house, that kind of thing, just to help protect them. But not a whole lot we can do with the landscape. I think we're just going to have to see what gets dealt, what we're dealt with and deal with it.
It's going to be an interesting week.
Yep.
But you guys as companies, what are you dealing with right now? Are you going out and going to be doing some snow removal on people's yards and that kind of thing?
Well, at Horstman Brothers, we do, we're snow removal contractors. We do mostly commercial type accounts, and it's all kind of on contract, and you know, yeah, we'll be out pushing snow around and salting lots and that kind of thing. So anyway, it will. It looks like a busy couple days for us coming up. And Glenn's on the sales side. He sells.
We sell pallets and bag product of ice melt.
Two companies like us.
It goes in and out as fast. Sometimes we're literally taking it off the one truck and putting it right on our customer's
yeah,
truck.
Yeah, ice melt.
It's going to be a long weekend.
Got to have that.
You do. And people sometimes ask about pet safety on ice melter, and there's one product of called magnesium chloride. If you're truly concerned about, in my opinion, what the safest product to use around pets is 100% magnesium chloride. And if the bag doesn't say it's 100% magnesium chloride, it's not 100%. And you'll know by the cost difference. 100% magnesium's kind of expensive compared to blends, and blends are mostly rock salt. So, you know, the ultimate safest thing is to do nothing but treat the scrape away the lawn area like the earlier caller did. But if you're going to use ice melt products, try to get 100% magnesium chloride products. Those are by far the safest to pets from what research I've done and over the years of selling these products.
That's a good tip. And some of the ice melt products do have the, you know, it says something about pets on there, pet safe and that kind of thing.
Correct.
So would those products usually be 100%?
They can or can't be. So the devil's in the details. You got to read the label. Like I said, if they're 100% magnesium chloride, a 50-pound bag of that retail might be $25 or $30. But if it says contains magnesium, it's probably $12 or $15. And then you'll know it only contains a small amount of magnesium. It's mostly rock salt. And that's probably one of the more less safe products to use around pets.
Very good tip. We have good information on the Garden Hotline. That's Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson. Also, Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers. We're going to continue in just a moment with your phone calls. 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. There is no pressure here on the Garden Hotline. Everything's cool. We're waiting for the storm to come in. We've got Jeff and Glenn here answering your questions. The number is 314-436-7900. Let's go next to Ann. Good morning, Ann. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I have a question. It might sound stupid, but we had just planted 8 gum trees at our church, and we haven't watered them for a while. And I know we've gotten a lot of precipitation this season, but with the cold as it's going to be with the snow and such, is that going to take a long time for that to get down to the roots of the baby trees we've put up there?
So what size kind of trees are these? I'm just curious. You said gum. Are they the actual sweet gums, or are they black gum, or what are they?
They're black gum trees.
Okay, great.
They're beautiful. They're probably about 6-7 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we haven't watered them recently. We've gotten enough rain, but I don't know how quickly the soil dries out in the cold weather.
Yeah, I think you're going to be fine. They're deciduous, meaning that, you know, they don't have any leaves right now. They're just kind of sleeping, you know. So anyway, I think you'll be fine. And the snow, you know, the snow, that's another good thing to talk about the storm. I mean, the snow is really beneficial as far as soil moisture, because typically when it melts, it goes down into the ground, you know, a nice percolation down into the ground.
And whatever the soil temperature is, once it snows, it doesn't get warmer or colder. That snow acts like a blanket. And I think you'll be fine. Hopefully you got a good mulch ring around those trees.
I was concerned about such cold temperatures next week that the snow wouldn't melt to get to the roots of the trees.
Well, like I said, they're just sitting there for now. I think they'll be fine until the snow does melt. I think you'll be in great shape with those black gums. They typically do very well, and they I haven't had a lot of death or problems with, you know, getting those going. I think
nothing to worry about there.
You'll be in good shape.
All right.
Thanks.
Good luck. Yeah.
Good luck, Ann, and thanks for the question at 314-436-7900. Up next, Brent, you're on the Garden Hotline with Jeff and Glenn. Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, could you repeat the rock salt situation? I just got in the car and heard a bit of it.
What we were talking about was trying to use products that melt ice and snow that are friendlier to pets. And so my belief is, and my recommendation is, to try to use a product that's 100% magnesium versus a blend that has maybe magnesium and rock salt together. So rock salt will be the least expensive product, but magnesium will melt at a much lower temperature. And in theory, that allows you to use less product, but in these temperatures, God only knows how much product we'll be using over the next couple of days, because it's going to be melting and refreezing, you know, depending on how much sun we have also. So, you know, it's just when it comes to pets, if you have a choice and you can spend the money, we would suggest, or my advice would be, to buy 100% magnesium products versus a blend of magnesium and rock salt.
Great. Thank you. Okay.
Yes, sir. Good luck.
So, in terms of, I mean, as I was reading the forecast, the temperature is not going to be above 24 for several days, and at night it'll be single digits. So the sun is enough to melt it a little bit, even if the temperature is well below freezing?
Sure, particularly if you have asphalt versus concrete. So, you know, anything black in nature, of course, is going to be maybe a couple degrees warmer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it depends on the reflection of the sun off of the building as well. You know, it's going to be a challenge. And then the roads are totally different, because the heat of the tires are warm enough, and that's what helps make rock salt, you know, the choice for roads, because there's traffic. So when I talk about these products for pets, it's mainly around sidewalks that in theory don't have as much traffic.
Sure. That is Glenn Kramer. He is with G.R. Robinson, and Jeff Kendall is our other expert this morning from Horstman Brothers. Answering your questions at your service, 314-436-7900. Up next, Steve, you are on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning.
Quick question. Is it advisable to throw out grass seed right before it snows? The ground's frozen right now, or pretty solid, or would it be a waste right now?
I'm a guy that sells grass seed, and I'd love to tell you, yeah, sure, go ahead. But the only guy that would benefit would probably be me. All things considered, if you waited 3 weeks or a month, you right. probably would get much better results, in my opinion.
I agree with what Glenn just said. I think, you know, the old theory on seeding with the snow was in the late winter, early spring. You know, if you get a late February or early March kind of snow, it might help that seed get nestled down into the ground.
I was 2 blocks to the hardware store ready to buy grass seed, but I'm not going to now. So thank you very much.
Do it. Save yourself.
Yeah, if you need to spring seed or you want grass for spring, just hold on a little bit and really try to get...
Okay, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, if you can get that seed, you know, down in late February or the first part of March, you know, that's kind of usually for St. Louis. That's
February,
the
early part
yeah,
of March.
That, that's the best scenario right there. Yep.
Okay, now, if I may follow this up with a second question. I know nothing about grass seed. I'm in St. Louis County. The front side of my house is the morning sun. The back side is the afternoon sun. But it pretty well, what is the best grass seed that is hardy, durable, and can grow in all, you know how the extreme temperatures and climates are in St. Louis. So I'll be quiet, because I go to a store and they go, well, this has this, this has this, this has this. This has Kentucky, this has fish fuel, this has, and I know nothing about that. So I'm kind of like looking at fishing lures thinking, well, that looks good. You know, I don't know. So help me out, yeah. Obi-Wan.
Steve, turf-type tall fescue is going to be your best choice. So I always tell people the grass seed's about one-tenth of the success of the lawn. It takes proper mowing, fertilization, and watering, and a little bit of help from Mother Nature. And so spring seedings, in my opinion, are maybe 40 to 50% successful, but September seedings are closer to 80 to 90% successful. But, you know, if you read all the write-ups on grass seed and they talk about how wonderful they are, there's always little caveats that say, if it's mowed properly, if it's watered properly, if it's fertilized properly. So it's like buying a treadmill and staring at it and wondering why you're not losing weight. You know, it's got to be used properly and treat it properly for you to have success. So it's not just buying the right seed, but having the right information to help grow that seed.
And like Glenn was saying, with the turf type fescue, is certainly for St. Louis the recommended grass. But a blend, you know, a diversity is a great thing when it comes to grass seed, because certain varieties can catch maybe a fungus that others don't, aren't as vulnerable and that kind of thing. So different varieties of turf type fescue mixed together, that's probably the best way to go.
The mutual fund instead of the single stock purchase.
Absolutely.
Diversify safety.
All right, Steve, thanks for calling in. 314-436-7900. Jeff and Glenn are taking your questions this morning on the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Good Saturday morning. It is the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. We are getting ready for a winter storm. There is a warning in effect 10 p.m. tonight through 6 a.m. Monday. Today's high 32. That's going to be the warmest temperature we'll have for a while. And we are expecting accumulations anywhere from 1 to 3 inches south of the city to 6 to 10 north of I-70. We will have more details coming up. Let's get back to the phones. Donna, good morning.
I have a quick question. I planted a small holly earlier this fall. It's only about 15 inches tall. Just wanting to know, with this storm, should I cover it with a burlap to prevent it from a wind chill factor, you know, affecting the leaves, or should I just leave it uncovered?
Hey, Donna, if it's only 15 inches tall, I think I'd just leave it go. And like we were saying, hopefully it's been well hydrated all fall for you, and hopefully it'll be just fine.
Okay. I was concerned because it faces the north and it gets a lot of that wind, so I didn't want to get it damaged.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, if you want to put a screen around it, you know, it won't hurt it, you know. I think it should be all right. And like we were saying, it depends how much snow we really get. You know, if it's 15 inches tall, and if, you know, if we get 8 inches of tall, I guess or 8 inches of snow, the lower half would be covered up anyway. So,
all right. Yeah.
Well, I'm not familiar with hollies. That's why I one show I listened to one Saturday, they were saying that you should protect it from wind chill, you know, to prevent it from damaging the leaves.
What kind of holly is it? Do you actually know what you got? What you have?
Castle Squire.
Yeah. So those Castle Spires are a little sensitive. They're not real cold hardy. You know. So if you want to try to put a little screen of burlap around it, it might help. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Have a good day.
So I assume that there's some plants here, whether they're native or not, that are hardier for the winter versus others. I mean, is there a resource you can go to figure that out instead of just guessing?
Sure. I mean, obviously, nowadays there's all kinds of tools. I mean, your iPhone's one of them, and you know, but usually when you buy a plant, you know, it will come with a tag, and it should have the hardiness zone on the tag somewhere. We'll talk about that. And you know, for St. Louis, if you usually get something that's 6 or lower, you don't have anything to worry about, you know. And if occasionally some of the ones that might even be a zone 7 seem to work pretty well for us. It just really depends on the winter. Two years ago, we had that cold snap in late December. That was brutal. and we were very dry heading into that, and it was very cold and windy, and we got a little bit of snow, but not enough to really do much, you know, except stick around because it was so cold. And that was very tough on certain plants, you know, especially broadleaf evergreens, cherry laurels in particular were hit really hard. Last year in January, we had a cold snap as well, where we went down to slightly below zero. So, you know, but Holly, she was referring to it. It is, I mean, it will grow in St. Louis, but it is not the hardiest of the plants we can use. And to Scott was asking about, sure, you know, native plants, the ones that are, you know, here by nature, you know, they're, you know, 10 below is not a big deal to them because that's what they've evolved to live with, you know. But sure, when we bring in different things here that weren't here by nature, you know, we have to pay attention to how hardy they are.
Yeah, the first winter and the second winters are always the hardest winters. Usually they're established by then, but your local mom and pop nurseries will definitely have better advice for you than maybe some of the larger stores per se.
Sure. And how about watering during this time? I mean, how do you approach that?
I don't think you really can. You really have to wait till the ground will absorb it. I think it'll just run off, and you probably would do more harm than good
with
these temperatures. I was thinking more like pots or plants.
Oh, yeah, no, you know, if pots, you know, even in the wintertime, they probably need to be watered every couple weeks anyway, you know. I mean, not every week or every day, but sure, no, they dry out, especially if they're up on, like we were saying earlier, if they're on a front porch, it might even be covered or something. They don't get a lot of natural water, you know, so and right now the ground, like we were saying, the upper couple inches of the ground is really quite moist still, you know. Right now it may be a little drier down deep, but you know, if indeed we get this, 8 inches of snow and ice, that's probably, by the time you throw in the ice part, it's probably close to an inch or more of liquid precipitation. And like we were saying, when it does melt, you know, usually that will melt down at a slow rate, and, you know, it soaks in the ground and things should be in good shape.
Isn't like an inch of rain equal to like 10 inches of snow?
That's what they say.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, obviously that's something you can't control. Nope. You can never control any of it because it's Mother Nature. But
the only other thing I'd say, Scott, on that too, with the water, and we've talked about before, I mean, and again, I'm not encouraging anybody to worry about it today or anything, but when we have new landscape plants, we've talked about this in the past, just you got to make sure when you water it, you get the water up around the new root ball, you know, because the, like Glenn was saying, you know, the first couple of years, the roots are really, they're right there in that little area where the plant was planted. And especially if it's an evergreen shrub, you know, the canopy of the bush just inhibits the rainwater, a lot of it anyway, from getting down to the roots.
We are speaking, that's Jeff Horstman, Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers, and Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson. We are taking your questions, and we are getting to the last chance segment here on KMOX. So the number is 314-436-7900. If you have a question about the storm and its effects on your yard or your plants, please call in. We are at your service. Or if you have a question about what you're going to be doing after this storm is over and heading into the spring, we'll take those questions as well. I was going to say, from a company perspective, it is getting close to spring, and people will be booking you. Jeff, I'll start with you. I mean, how far out do people need to do that?
Sure. Great question, Scott. I would encourage people to call in the next couple weeks. You know, at least we can get some things going, you know, as far as plans, because, you know, especially if it's planned, you know, like actual drawings and so forth, it can take a couple weeks or more just to, you know, to get the proposal type thing together. So sooner the better, really, to take a look at the planning phase of things. You know, Glenn can talk about on the turf care plan side, and we at Horstman, we do a we get a lot of fertilizer products from Glenn, you know. And anyway, yeah, you want to definitely get going on that as well, because like Glenn was saying earlier, you know, at late February, early March, you know, any more is really the time we need to be making that first application of the season. Or if we have to, you know, like we were saying, spring is not the best time to seed, but if you got to, you know, if you got bare spot, you got to put some grass there, you know, or it's going to be dirt all summer, you know. So if you're going to do that, same thing, late February, early March. So, you know, that's really, like Scott said earlier, we're you know, that comes quicker than you think.
Yeah.
It's coming, you know.
So. You know, pitchers and catchers report, you know what I'm saying?
Right around the corner.
But Glenn, I did want to ask you, G.R. Robinson, tell us a little bit about your company.
Yeah, so we're a wholesale distributor of grass seed fertilizer and chemicals to the landscape industry. And we sell a line of seed called George's Magic Mix to select retail stores. And so we're a very small 4-employee company. We're the epitome of mom and pop. And luckily I have a son who's much more educated and much more handsome than his father. And he'll be taking over here in a couple years, whether he wants to or not. Because I have grandpa duty right around the corner. So we're working with our clients now. All our guys want to know what the prices are going to be so they can get contracts out to their clients. And, you know, you have to have a pretty good idea of where you are price-wise so that you can offer your services and still make some money. So that's what we do.
Well, a follow-up question there. How has inflation affected your business?
Oh, it's insurance and taxes have affected us almost more. Luckily, the commodities market is kind of stable, particularly urea and fertilizers. Grass seed prices 2 years ago were just absolutely crazy. And so what affects us are when we buy commodities and sell commodities, the commodities world is affected by weather in other places, demand in other places, and then you throw in inflation. It's just that it seems like when one thing goes down, something else goes up. And so right now it's just it's actually pretty stable on my end. I'm actually not too concerned. But there's always something that changes.
Jeff, in your line of work, landscape business, is it a constant demand or does it fluctuate with the economy?
Scott, the economy does. It comes into play, certainly. At Horstman Brothers, we're fortunate that we have a really diverse portfolio of clients. You know, we do a lot of commercial work, but we also do a lot of residential work. And then, you know, when you talk about residential landscaping, we actually are fortunate to have a lot of clientele that I think are fairly doing pretty good, you know. And you know, so they're maybe not as quick to pull, you know, to pull back from things because inflation went up a little bit, but it does have an impact, and certainly it has a big impact on just over profitability and trying to bid things properly. Like Glenn said, we have to be cognizant of, you know, what the prices are doing all the time, and labor's a big key thing for us.
Yeah.
It's just late labor's always seems like lately, even if the product side of things is stable, the labor continues to go up. Nursery stock in general has gotten very expensive over the last few years. I mean, it's like really amazing.
Yeah,
so yes, inflation does come into play. So.
Yeah.
Jeff and Glenn, last chance to ask them a question. It is 314-436-7900. Right after the break, we'll get the last round of calls in on the Garden Hotline. Okay, last chance, 314-436-7900. If you have a question about the approaching storm and its effect on your plants or trees or yard, now's the chance. Glenn and Jeff are answering your questions. Let's go next to Rhonda. Rhonda, you're on the Garden Hotline. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? I'm calling in regards to the gentleman that recently called about putting down the grass seed right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I have lived in our house for over 30 years, started out with no grass at all. Every other year, right before a major snow, we put down grass seed and triple 12. and it comes in beautiful every year. It's like it goes dormant, and come springtime, those seeds just pop open. So I don't know if that's a help to anybody, but we've always done it, and it's always done beautiful.
If it's not broken, don't fix it. Congratulations.
Yeah.
If it works for you, keep on doing it. Yeah.
Yes, it's like the snow covers it so the birds can't eat it all. And come springtime, the triple 12 helps, plus the grass seed opens up.
Okay.
But anyway, I just wanted to put in my comment, and hopefully, you know, someone's listening, and maybe they'll try it, maybe they won't.
Yeah, no, you're, that's great. Great advice. Thanks.
That's a great tip, okay. Rhonda. I appreciate you calling in. 314-436-7900 for the last phone calls we have here for Jeff and Glenn. Jeff, have you seen anything like that or heard about that?
Sure. We said earlier, you know, snow seeding with the snow is a common old practice, actually. And, you know, and we were just saying that the risk you run, like today in January, is if it sits there and it we get a lot more moisture over the winter, the seed can actually rot on the ground. So what we were suggesting is just try to hit, hopefully, maybe if you want a snow seed, we get another snow late in February or the first of March, and then you're closer to that time of year where that ground's going to warm up enough to germinate the seed, you know. So anyway, but no, I'm glad Rhonda has had good success with that, and that's
the beauty of horticulture. Everybody has their own spin on it. Whatever right. works for you works.
But yeah, we're only in early January, so we got a lot of ways to go before that soil temperature, like Glenn likes to talk about, is up to that, 50 degree mark we need.
Yep.
In 40s. So, yeah.
Okay. Jan is next on the Garden Hotline. Good morning, Jan.
Hi. I have a couple of questions if you have time. The first one is, I have a couple of volunteer red buds that have come up in the back of my yard, and I wanted to know when a good time to prune them would be. They're about 6 years old or more.
Jan, you know, you could prune on them even now. You're probably going to cut off some flowers, you know. I don't know if they're that young, if they're really looking great when they bloom and so forth. But you could do a dormant cutting right now. Same thing. You could probably do a trim a little earlier, you know, later in the spring after they're done blooming, if they are going to bloom, and they'll flush out some more growth, you know. So
yeah, they're kind of low to the ground, some of the branches, and I wanted to get.
If you're mainly talking about limbing them up, as far as I know, you could probably do that almost any time, really. Yeah. But dormant, dormant's a good time for most trees, you know, to limb up.
It'll help them in the long run. Yeah.
Okay. And then I wanted to plant some red stick dogwoods, but I didn't know how far apart do you plant those? I don't know how many I might need.
Okay. So red twig dogwoods, nice shrub, great winter interest, you know, and they're usually pretty hardy. Can actually take a wet area if you have damp conditions. That's a great plant for that. But anyway, you know, they do spread, you know, and they get kind of bushy, and they're stoloniferous, which means they produce like runners, and they want to come up in other areas. So they don't get huge themselves. I would say 4 to 5 foot apart would be probably the best spacing for those. Mm.
Okay, yeah, because I have a little woodsy area that does kind of go down low where there would be more water.
You know, if it's in the woods, they do need light.
Oh, no, it's not in the woods. It gets plenty of sun.
Okay, great. Yeah, they need sun to look good and stay healthy looking. They can get some thin and fungus issues in the shade, you know. So.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Yeah,
thanks for calling in, Jan. We probably have time for one more call, but you'd have to get in pretty quick at 314-436-7900. In the meantime, final thoughts, gentlemen. Thanks for coming back, by the way. We appreciate your service and your knowledge of this industry and landscaping and gardening, and you always have thoughtful answers, so thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us in. Thanks, Scott.
And any final thoughts? Anything, you know, looking forward?
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, I hope everybody stays safe and has fun with the winter. You know, it's winter's part of where we live. So hopefully you're able to enjoy the snow or, you know, enjoy that. And final thoughts, the main thing, I think the main takeaway from what we talked about would be time to plan ahead and get ready for spring. You know, it'll be here before we know it. And looking forward to spring this year.
Yeah, and I would say stay safe and, like I say, enjoy the snow. I love going out for a nice walk in the snow. And what I really love to see is a cardinal bird out with the contrast against the snow. That yeah, to me is a little message from heaven. And I got to tell my brother happy birthday, Steve. He's been my protector growing up, and I really admire him and love him. And happy birthday to my brother.
Awesome. Happy birthday. What's his name?
Steve.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Steve. And Glenn Kramer from G.R. Robinson, we appreciate you being here. Jeff Kendall, Horseman Brothers. Before I forget, that cardinal, did you see the yellow one?
I did see that.
Yeah. And that was, I think, a Cardinals photographer who took it.
Right.
In his backyard.
Yeah.
A very rare yellow cardinal.
Wow.
Beautiful.
I mean, see
obviously, yeah, most of them are red or awesome, the gray color for the females. Or no, wait, it's the other way around.
No.
Yeah, no, it's females. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, this yellow cardinal was stunning, and right, especially against the backdrop of the snow. And so,
yeah, you know,
Mother Nature at work.
Talking about pitchers and catchers, I live, and I feed the birds, and I really do enjoy birds. But I've got a large burning bush between my neighbor and I, and anyway, in the winter, it's just spectacular. We usually have like 8 or 9 cardinals there.
Makes lots of beauty in the winter. Yeah. That is the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. We'll talk to you next week.